Well, good afternoon, everyone. Happy Sabbath. I really appreciated Mr. Taylor's message today for two reasons. One, it was fantastic. The second is, with this beard turning gray early, I don't really get called young anymore. And today I got called young because I knew about a school-wide program from the 1980s. So that is fantastic. That's a good day. That is a fantastic day. All right. Well, we are told to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us, right? And said another way, we need to be able to explain why we do what we do, why we believe what we believe. Well, last night we observed the Passover. Sorry that we missed you, but everybody that we know that we trust to keep the kids, they were all here last night. So Natalie and I did it at home last night. She joked, or at least I think she joked, she's getting tired of washing my feet. But anyway, maybe someday when the kids get a little bit older, we'll be able to join you again. But last night we kept the Passover, right? And this is a question that comes up from time to time. Should we keep the Passover on the 14th day of the Hebrew calendar or on the 15th day of the Hebrew calendar? Well, last night we observed the Passover after sundown as the 14th day of the first month of the Hebrew calendar started. But if you look at your calendar at home, or maybe you've got a calendar on your phone, it likely says that Passover starts at sundown tonight. So why the discrepancy? Well, the calendars that say Passover starts tonight, they're using Judaism's Passover. All right, those who practice Judaism, they keep what they call Passover on the 15th day of the first month. But does that line up with what's in the Bible? Does that line up with how ancient Israel kept the Passover? And does that line up with how Jesus kept the Passover? And the best place to start answering these questions is over in Exodus chapter 12. So let's start in Exodus chapter 12. And we'll read verses 1 through 6. Because here we find God giving Moses instructions about the Passover. So Exodus chapter 12. And we'll begin in verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of their persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight.'" So God gives Moses and Aaron some instructions here concerning the Passover and the time for keeping it. Man has decided that the middle of winter is the best time to change years, but God says, no, my year starts in the spring. And then God tells them to set aside a lamb by families on the 10th day of this first month. And if the family was small and a whole lamb would be too much, then they were to share it with their neighbor. And the Israelites were to keep this lamb set apart until the 14th day of the first month. And the King James Version says that they were to kill it in the evening. And the New King James Version says that they were to kill it at twilight. Okay? So let's look at that word that's translated evening or twilight. It's Strong's H6153, and it means dusk, even, or night. And Vine says that this phrase, in the evening, would more accurately be translated between the evenings and refers specifically to the time between sunset and dark. Now, we all know that time frame, right? You're out there, you're enjoying a beautiful sunset, You got reds, you got oranges. And as soon as that sun dips below the horizon, it seems like all those beautiful reds and oranges kind of disappear almost instantly. Now you've got blues and purples that come in. It's not dark yet. You can still see, but the sun is down. It's after sundown. And that's why the New King James Version chooses the word twilight. And we see from the Genesis account that God starts a day in the evening time. Evening and morning were the first day, is what it says. And when God instructed Moses and Aaron, he told them to keep the lamb until the 14th day of the first month and kill it between the evenings, the time between sunset and darkness. Now that time only happens once each day. Each day starts at sunset. And when the sun goes down, it's the start of a new day. So the instructions are also to keep it until the 14th and kill it. Right? So when the sun goes down, the 14th just started. So the lambs would be kept until the 14th. It is also the time between sunset and total darkness that only happens once per day. So this time that's identified here would be at the beginning of the 14th day of the first month. So as the sun set, the 14th day of the first month was starting. And this is when everyone was to kill the lamb they had set aside. So let's continue in verse 7. It says, "And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. And you shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire." So the Israelites, they were prescribed a whole menu here, right? And they even got their cooking instructions. The lamb was to be roasted in the fire, and they were to eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They were not supposed to use leavened bread that maybe they had made on the 13th and had left over. You know, they could have had some bread left over before sundown from the 13th. They weren't supposed to use that for this service. God specifically instructed unleavened bread. And they were also told to do something special with the blood. The blood was to be caught in a basin, and then the Israelites were to spread it on the lintel and the doorposts. And the blood was to be a sign of a type of covenant that God was entering into with the Israelites. In fact, the next place that we see the blood of an animal being caught in a basin and put on something or sprinkled on something else is when the Israelites are entering into a covenant with God at Mount Sinai. But there's also some instructions here about timing. See, they were told to eat the flesh in that night. Well, the Hebrew word translated "in that" is Strong's H2088, and it means this or that, but it's also translated as the same. Okay, so verse 8 is telling the Israelites to eat the flesh in that night, or in this night, or in the same night. Well, which night is this night, that night, or the same night? What's it referring to? It's referring to the one in which they had killed the lamb. We already established that each day has one night, and that is at the beginning of the day. The Israelites slaughtered the lamb on the 14th, so the only way to eat it in that night, or this night, or the same night, is on the 14th day of the first month. And the cooking method prescribed is roasted whole in the fire. And this is probably for two reasons, one which points to the greater meaning behind Passover and one which is probably a little bit more practical in nature. First, the use of the blood on the doorposts and the lintel points to the sacrificial nature of the Passover, and sacrifices were always made by fire. But second, the Israelites were trying to cook an animal that they had just slaughtered. And the quickest way to do that is to skip the cleaning that would be required for other cooking methods and just roast it over an open fire. And they were also told that if any of the lamb remains until the morning, that they need to burn it. Well, this presupposes that they will be here in the morning. And that morning would be the daylight portion of the 14th day of the first month. And we'll see why this must be the case in a few minutes. But let's continue on in verse 11. So Exodus chapter 12, verse 11. It says, "And thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." So these instructions that God is giving to Moses and Aaron were instructions on how to eat the Passover and to be ready to leave Egypt at the same time. Now, normally, if you're eating a nice meal at home, you probably like to get comfortable, right? You take off your shoes, you settle in, maybe you loosen up your belt. I don't know. Depends what's for dessert. But this meal was going to be a little bit different, right? The Israelites, they were preparing for a long journey, and God wanted them ready to go. Moses had already told Pharaoh that after this next plague, that the Israelites would be leaving. And these instructions were to make it clear to the Israelites that they were leaving as well. Then God tells them why they put the blood on the doorposts and the lintels. The last plague is the death of all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human and animal. And the blood served as a sign that would cause the plague of death to pass over that household. And again, this points to the sacrificial nature of the Passover, with the blood protecting from the plague of death, and ultimately pointing forward to what Christ would do one day. And verse 11 is the first time that God names this feast, and God says that it's the Lord's Passover. The word translated Passover is the Hebrew word Pesach. And Pesach is Strong's H6452, and it's only used in referring to Passover. It's the only time it's ever used. And Pesach means an exemption, an omission, to leave undone, or to let pass without mention or notice, or to suspend indefinitely. So by calling it the Lord's Passover, what God's saying is, he's telling the Israelites that this feast is God's omission. God would be exempting, God would be omitting, and God would let pass without mention from the death plague all those who had the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts and on their lintels. Next, God instructs Moses and Aaron to tell the Israelites that this event was not just a one-time event. No, Passover was to be celebrated as a memorial to what God had done throughout their generations, on and on forever. Passover was going to be an annual event. Now, as we continue in verse 16, we start to see a separate feast that's discussed. So let's continue in verse 15. It says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this same day I will have brought out your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. So in verse 11, we were introduced to the word Pesach. But here in verses 15 and 17, we're introduced to a new Hebrew word. That Hebrew word is matzah, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. And matzah is Strong's H4682, and it means sweetness or sweet in the sense of not being soured or bittered by yeast, specifically an unfermented cake or loaf. So these days, you know, we've got dry ingredients that can leaven baked goods pretty quickly. You got your baking soda, you got your baking powder, you got yeast, you got different ones. But when these events were happening, all that existed basically was sourdough. Natural yeast had to mix with flour and water and ferment for several days to become a starter. And then you could take that starter and you could put that into other baked goods that needed leavening. And when yeast is in bread, the yeast is eating the glucose sugars. And it's making waste byproducts of water and carbon dioxide. And that carbon dioxide, that's what makes the dough rise. When there isn't enough oxygen around, for example, maybe in a liquid like grape juice that's in a wineskin or some other container that's sealed up, the conversion isn't as efficient or complete, and the yeast instead makes carbon dioxide and alcohol. So here, the Israelites are told to have another memorial. This is a different memorial. It's not for the Pesach, but for the matzah. That bread that was unfermented. And they were to observe the matzah because God was bringing them out of Egypt. In contrast to the Pesach memorial, which memorialized God omitting them from the death plague, the matzah feast memorialized their leaving Egypt. The Pesach memorial focused on the lamb and on the blood and on the sacrifice. The matzah memorial focused on the unleavened bread. The Israelites were to eat the unleavened bread with the Passover. But the two festivals are separate, and they should not be confused. So God gives Moses and Aaron some additional instructions about removing leaven from their homes, not even eating leaven and eating unleavened bread all 7 days of the feast. And Moses and Aaron call for the elders of Israel, and they begin to relay the instructions to them. And as we drop down in verse 21... we'll continue to get some more information about the timing. So Exodus chapter 12 and verse 21. We'll read 21 through 23. And it says, "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, 'Pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to the families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come in to your houses to strike you.'" So verse 22 there has got a very important detail. While Moses is giving the instructions to the Israelites, he tells them that they're not to go out of their houses until morning. And the word morning is Strong's H1242, and it means dawn. In order to be protected from the plague, not only did the Israelites need to put the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel, but they had to stay in their house until the sun came up. This would ensure that they spent the entire night inside of their houses. The first time that they would have exited would be the daylight portion of the 14th. And this will become important in a few minutes when we read some other scriptures. But the Israelites received the instruction, and the Bible says that they bowed their head and worshiped. Then they went and they did what God commanded. They picked out their lambs on the 10th day of the first month, and they kept it until the 14th day of the first month. They slaughtered the lamb, and they put the blood on the doorposts and the lintel, and they stayed there inside their homes as they ate the Passover. Let's drop down to verse 29. Exodus chapter 12, verse 29. It says, "And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, 'Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also.'" So Pharaoh's tune is a little bit different now. Each time Pharaoh wanted to set the terms of who would go when he was going to release the Israelites. And after each plague, Pharaoh would change his mind. He would promise to let them go, and if the plague would just end, he would just change his mind and keep them there. But this time it's different. This time he's letting them go. Everybody's going. Every household in Egypt had a death, and even Pharaoh's own son died. Now Pharaoh wants Moses to bless him as Moses leaves. Now it says that Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron by night, but Moses had told the people not to leave their homes until dawn. So they would not have left their homes until dawn. Now all the people had eaten the Passover, all packed up and ready to go. But as we will see, you know, there's quite a few of them, and it takes a long time to get them all moving. Let's drop down to verse 37. We'll read verses 37 through 42. It says, "Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides children. A mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. And they baked unleavened cakes of dough, which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass, at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations." So some who argue for the 15th Passover, they claim that the timeline doesn't make any sense. They say it doesn't make sense for Israel to just wait around for another day to leave. But what we just read here explains exactly what the Israelites were doing. I don't know how many times I read over verse 37 and I didn't see it. but we read about what they did in verse 37. See, even though the people were ready to go, 600,000 men plus the women and the children is a lot of people. Not only that, but a mixed multitude and all their flocks went with them. And they were not allowed to start to leave their homes until the dawn on the 14th. So all the Israelites assemble, and a mixed multitude as well. And verse 37 says they start their journey out of Egypt from Ramses. They started in Ramses and they headed towards Succoth. Well, Genesis 33 and verse 17 tells us that Succoth was a place where Jacob built a house and he made booths for his cattle. And the Israelites were headed to a place that Israel, their forefather, had made his home before. But they started in Ramses, which Genesis 47 tells us is in the land of Goshen, which is in Egypt. I have a little map in the back of my Bible. Probably some of you have a little map in the back of your Bible as well. And Succoth appears to be right on the edge of Egypt. And the scale in my Bible, it shows that the distance between Ramses and Succoth is just over 40 kilometers, give or take. Well, 40 kilometers is about 25 miles. Okay? So we're told that during the daylight portion of the 14th, the Israelites started a journey of about 25 miles with this huge caravan of people. They started in Egypt, right? Let's say you're walking 3 miles an hour. I do that on the treadmill sometimes. You know, I can do it for about an hour, and I'm kind of worn out because 3 miles an hour is a pretty good pace, right? Well, if you're going to do 3 miles an hour, That's a little over 8 hours to make that trip, right? But if you're going to average 3 miles an hour, that's no breaks, that's no lunch. You got the kids pulling on you, right? You got all these animals that you're trying to drive. So if the caravan was able to average, let's say, 2 miles an hour, it would take 12 and a half hours to make that journey. So if they started at dawn, about the time the sun would be setting, they would be completing their 25-mile trek. But this whole trek until the very end would basically be in the land of Egypt. See, Ramses was in the land of Goshen. That's where Joseph and Pharaoh had the Israelites settle when they first came to Egypt. And the King James says it is a night to be much observed for coming out of the land of Egypt. And the Israelites were told to memorialize the night that they went out from Egypt. So when did they go out of Egypt? Well, we can look at a couple of other passages for that answer. The first is in Numbers chapter 33. Numbers chapter 33. And we'll read verses 1 through 4. It says, "These are the journeys of the children of Israel, who went out of the land of Egypt by their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now Moses wrote down the starting points of their journeys at the command of the Lord, and these are their journeys according to their starting points. They departed from Ramses in the first month. On the 15th day of the first month, on the day after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians, for the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn whom the Lord had killed among them. Also on their gods the Lord had executed judgments." So here we're told the Israelites, Moses recorded all the journeys that Israel had made. And the first recording is the Israelites going out from Egypt on the 15th day of the first month. Now we just read that after Pharaoh told the people to get out, that 600,000 men, women, and children began a journey. And here in Numbers, we see that's on the 15th day of the first month that they left Egypt, on the day after the Passover. That means the 14th is the Passover, and when the Passover should be observed. And that's important because of the next verse that we'll read. So let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 1 and pick up another detail. Read verses 1 through 3, Deuteronomy 16, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Therefore, you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to put his name. You shall also eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. That is the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day in which you came out from the land of Egypt all the days of your life." So here we're told that the Israelites, they went out by night. And we just read that they went out on the 15th day of the first month. They were told not to leave their homes until dawn, after being told to kill a lamb at dusk on the 14th. They were to roast it and eat it that same night with their shoes on their feet, ready to go on a journey. And they were leaving as fast as they could, but it takes a long time to get that many people moving, and they had a long way to go. They had to walk 25 miles to actually leave Egypt. So the only timeline that fits together for all these details is the Passover being sacrificed just after sundown on the start of the 14th. The Israelites eating Passover on the 14th. The Israelites mobilizing during the daylight portion of the 14th while the Egyptians were burying their dead. And then finally coming out of Egypt after sundown at the start of the 15th. So when Exodus 12 says to memorialize the day that they came out of Egypt, it is talking about a second memorial. One on the 15th day of the first month at the start of the days of unleavened bread. And that memorial is different from the Pesach memorial on the 14th, which memorializes God exempting them from the death plague. That second memorial is why we keep the night to be much observed. We take that title directly from the phrasing in the King James Version. And we do it at night, beginning the first day of unleavened bread on the 15th day of the first month. And that's tonight at sundown. Well, what about Passover in the New Testament? When did Jesus keep the Passover? Well, let's go over to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and we'll read a few verses here. We'll read verses 2 through 5. You may have read some of these last night. It says, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." So Jesus said that he's going to be crucified on the Passover. And the Jews who want to kill him, they conspire that they will soon do so, but not on the feast day, because they don't want the people to revolt. Now, which day would cause a revolt? Well, the feast on the 15th, the first day of unleavened bread, had an explicit command not to work. The 15th is a Sabbath day. But the Passover on the 14th, it doesn't have such a command. So the Jews were trying to avoid crucifying Jesus on the 15th. Let's skip down to verse 17. It says, "Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he said, 'Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did just as Jesus directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12." Now the phrasing in verse 17, maybe it seems a bit contradictory at first. How can it be the Passover and the first day of unleavened bread? But remember in Exodus that God commanded that the Passover was to be eaten with unleavened bread. So this was the first time that time of year that they would have been eating unleavened bread this holy day season. So in verse 20, the word translated even is Strong's Greek 3798, and it means late or nightfall. And if you follow the events, you find that one contiguous day proceeds from here all the way through John chapter 19 and verse 31. In fact, let's go over to John chapter 19 and verse 31. John chapter 19 and verse 31. It says, "Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away." That high day, that was talking about an annual feast, an annual Sabbath. That was the first day of unleavened bread, which is the 15th day of the first month, which means that Jesus Christ kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month with his disciples at evening. Now, Christ had a whole meal with his disciples, and then after the meal, he added the foot washing ceremony, and they did bread and they did wine, just like we did last night. And Paul gives us some insight into how we keep the Passover together as a church. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 20. You probably read some of these last night, but 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 20. We'll read verses 20 through 25. It says, "Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper." And Christ had a whole supper with his disciples. That's not what this is about. "For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So the Corinthian church, they provided us with a lot of teachable moments, and not the least of which is how they came together for Passover. They came together to eat a meal like Christ did with his disciples, but in doing so, they didn't truly come together. Instead of a nice meal where everyone participated together, they allowed their human nature to take over, and they served themselves first, and some got drunk, and they lost the solemnity of the night. And Paul tells us that Jesus Christ instructed him that when we come together as a church for Passover, it is for the bread and the wine and the foot washing. You know, Mr. Martin gave an excellent sermon on the foot washing just recently. And the blood on the doorposts was a symbol of protection from death, and it moved to an internal symbol of consuming the blood of Christ for internal cleansing. And the symbol of consuming the unleavened bread pictures us putting his character and his life into us. And the symbol of the foot washing, the humility and the service that we're all called to in this life. So when you put the scriptures together, here a little, there a little, the picture becomes quite clear that the Passover was kept by Israel on the 14th day of the first month, that Jesus Christ kept it on the 14th day of the first month, which is why we keep it on the 14th day of the first month.